Everybody get the notification?
Yep.
Bill, are you okay saying prayer?
Okay.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity to have a Bible study tonight. We get together and have Christian fellowship. It's so important to be close to those of us that are part of your kingdom. We all need to work together and have a joyful time. Please be with us as we go through this evening and pray that Daniel gives us a good lesson and that we take it with us and can use it in our everyday living. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All righty. There. Hi.
Yes, hi.
So we're continuing chapter 7. We got through verse 7 last week. And now the real Exodus begins. We have the first plague, and anyway, so let's get into it. Verses 8 through 13. It's one of these instances where we're just kind of thrust into some dialogue, into some interactions that there's no real setup for. It's just, you know, we finish off in verse 6. Moses did as the Lord commanded them. Well, that's all verses 1 through 6 are, is just God commanding them to do something. Well, verse 8 through 13 is them doing what God actually said they were going to do. So really kind of 8 through 13 is verse 6. But it starts off that, it starts off with the Lord speaking to Moses and Aaron. And when Pharaoh speaks to you saying, work a miracle, why is Pharaoh going to say work a miracle?
I guess just to prove what Moses was saying. Just messing with his mind.
Who does Pharaoh have on staff?
Yes, those guys that he called in before, and it turned like they actually were able to do some, whether they were miracles or whatever.
Right.
You know, he has those seers.
His musicians.
So yeah. when Pharaoh, can you hear that, by the way? Can you hear that?
No.
No? Okay, good. When Pharaoh seeks a word from his magicians or his prophets, he is going to expect some proof of their word, that what they're speaking is actually from the God. You guys don't hear that, really?
That I heard.
That you heard, but not this?
No.
Okay, good. No. So what are Moses and Aaron doing? Who are they speaking on behalf of?
God.
So Pharaoh is accustomed to proof that God has spoken, and the magicians do their magic. Well, if you want me to listen to you, give me a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So the first miracle, the first one that God gave. Tell Aaron, throw down his staff, it'll turn into a serpent. And so verse 10 is verse 6 and verse 9. Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh. Thus they did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh. So we can presume that they've come to Pharaoh and Pharaoh has said, show me a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But then Pharaoh called the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. Secret arts. And we talked about that before, so we don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that again. We just want to acknowledge that there's only three secret arts these could be. What are they? Anyone remember?
They're enchantment. Well, let me think.
So really the source of their secret arts is what we're talking about. There's three possibilities.
That
Black magic?
Yeah, but is black magic real? Right? There's only three options.
I've never thought it was, but I wonder about this. I've asked before, you know, because they did do some things that were unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the devil helped them out.
That was one of that was one of the options, is that they're doing genuine miracles, but they're doing it by the power of Satan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them. The other option is they're doing genuine miracles, but doing it by...
And I would think illusions, not real.
That's the third option is what we call magic.
Yeah.
But then the second option is that they're doing genuine miracles by the power of who? They're either doing miracles by the power of Satan or by the power of...
Demons.
They're either doing genuine miracles by the power of Satan or by the power of...
God.
God. Now, it says their secret arts. That probably excludes God, right?
Well, you know, right. I've wondered many times when in my reading over these chapters, why God, he said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Mm-hmm. He did that several times. And I've always wondered why he was doing that, except, I mean, we kind of talked about this last time. And he's doing it so it convinces people. I mean, so he could show that he has all this, that he can perform miracles and because people have faith in him. But maybe this is one of the things he did to help Pharaoh make it look as if he were doing something, getting magic. I said a lot of words there. I don't know. Do you understand what I said?
Yeah.
I think God knew Pharaoh wasn't going to believe it because Pharaoh liked power. He like, you know, he don't want anything to be bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
So... God knew that Pharaoh was going to come up with all this other stuff. So that's why Aaron's rod swallowed up, you know, their serpent. I guess,
but
I don't know.
He did do it, though. He did do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, chapter 4, I'm trying to find it.
That's
the
I think God hardened his heart and so that he would refuse letting the Israelites out again, and that would give him a chance to show more power on God's part through Aaron and Moses, and maybe more convincing to everyone that he was all-powerful God. Is that way out in left field?
No. Verse 19 and 20 of chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Now, we're going to deal with this hardening of heart thing in comprehensively after we're done with the plagues.
Okay.
But to answer your question, verse 19 and 20 say, God is speaking to Moses, I know the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. Unless he's forced to.
Yes.
So, verse 20, I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it, and after that, he will let you go. So, God knows beforehand, before a single thing is said about hardening Pharaoh's heart, mm-hmm. I know he won't let you go unless he's forced to let them go. So, we need to keep that. And then so, because of that, I will stretch out my hand and perform mighty works. So there's two things in play here. There is making Pharaoh do it, because he said he's not going unless he's forced to. And then there's God demonstrating his power. There's mm-hmm. two things there, but they end up becoming interrelated because by demonstrating his power, he ends up forcing Pharaoh to do it.
So I was correct in what I was saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So we come back to chapter 7 and the verse 11. And the sorcerers and the wise man and the magicians, the same secret arts, if it's their secret arts, is that going to be God in his power?
Well, God can make anything happen, so yes.
Well, right, but it says they did the same with their secret arts.
And mine said with their enchantment, which to me is not real. It's,
yeah, it's like their enchantments. It's their mm-hmm. secret arts. So whether it's black magic or voodoo, which would be potentially a genuine power, but from Satan, or whether it's an illusion, it's not the power of God. It's their secret arts.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and the alternative is Satan.
Right. Now, it is possible that God did work mighty works among the Egyptians before Israel. I would even say likely, because remember Joseph, right? God worked mighty works through Joseph.
Right.
And the Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years before this. So it's very possible God did even more that we don't know about, and that the Egyptians would have had experience with, and maybe God even worked through Egyptians. We just don't know. But the point is here is that it's their secret arts.
And not God's.
Probably not God's. It's yeah. unlikely God's. We have to allow the possibility still, but it's probably not. Because each one threw down his staff and turned into serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. So my whole life, all I ever heard was, see, God's power over their staff. That's, yeah, okay, that's fine. But the magicians still made their staves turn into snakes. And
Pharaoh got harder.
Verse 13, yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Mm-hmm. He did not listen to them. Now, as we go through, we want to pay attention to what the Bible says about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. We're just not studying it yet. So here it says, remember chapter 4:21, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. But here in chapter 7, verse 13, yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Didn't say who is hardening Pharaoh's heart or how. It just says Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Now remember, God knows from the beginning, Pharaoh's not going to let you go except unless he's forced to. So at this point, does Pharaoh need outside influences to harden his heart?
No.
My magicians can do what your magicians did. Pshaw. Well, I'm not letting you go.
Well, they did three of them. They didn't do all of them.
Is that not correct? Well, we don't know how many magicians, sorcerers, and wise men there were. It just says he called for wise men, sorcerers, and magicians.
Well, I know, but in the book, it says that they only list three of the magic that was performed by Aaron and Moses. They were able to do three of those. And then they didn't, I don't know if they even tried anymore.
Are you talking about the staff, the leper's hand, and something else?
It's the snake, leper's hand, and there is one other thing I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's not, is it blood?
No, but we're only told they did this one, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, God gave them the power to do the other ones, but we're only told about this one. I'm not aware that they did. I only know about, let's see, let's go back. let's see. So there's the staff.
Mm-hmm.
This is chapter 4. Now in verse 6, there's the leper's hand.
Yeah.
And there's, yeah, you're right, verse 9. There was taking water out of the Nile, and the water becomes blood. The water that's taken out of the Nile, that becomes blood.
Yeah.
We're only told they did the one, though. It doesn't mean they didn't do the other two. It just means we're only told that they did the one.
I guess when I read it, I thought it implied to me that they had done them, but maybe not.
Well, I mean, like I said, they may have. You know, this is a very brief exchange here, and it's kind of almost awkward the way it's put in the text, especially when you consider chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. It's almost like, hey, we've got to insert this one little part. And, you know, I mean, I don't think that's what happened. It's just this little section is just what all we got.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, we're not told they did the other two miracles. It doesn't mean they didn't do them, but we're not told about it. Either way, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Probably Pharaoh hardening his own heart, I would think here. And then we have the first plague. Oh, hey, Barbara. She's still connecting to audio. Anybody else on verses 8 through 13? Hey, Barbara.
Hello.
All right. On to the first plague. Everybody read this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Verse 14, almost a continuation or duplicate of verse 13. Lord said to Moses, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. Anybody else have another word there?
Mine says heart is hard.
Mm-hmm. Bill?
Mine just says Noah's heart is unyielding.
Unyielding?
Unyielding.
That's certainly stubborn. Anybody else? Okay. The New American Standard has a footnote that the word is literally hard. It could be stubborn or hard, but literally the word is heavy. But now we're back to what we talked about last week for a little while, the usage of words and the richness of the language.
So heavy mean it really bothered him.
It could mean that. It also could mean what we tend to think our Bibles typically. Like Bill's Bible said, unyielding. Or this Bible says stubborn, your Bible says hard. You know, it's you put all those together, what do you have? You have a hardened, weighty
stubborn
heart.
Man.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, rocks are heavy, right, typically?
Yeah.
Rocks are hard, so. His heart is stubborn or hard or unyielding. He refused to let the people go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out the water. So let me find a map I can share here. I know we did this once before, but it's just handy to remember. Let me see here. Let's do this one. I hate when people change stuff. All right, let's share screen. And let's share that. And we'll go to that. Everybody see that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me zoom in. All right. So we know we're not in Goshen. We know that because that's where the Israelites live. Whoops. We know we're not in Heliopolis because that's a city in Goshen.
Yes.
It's the verse says, go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile.
Yeah.
This is just setting for us that wherever Pharaoh is, Moses and Aaron are going to him, and they're going to him at a city, capital city, near the Nile River. The archaeologists, Cairo did not exist back then. It was called something else. I don't remember what it's called right now.
I read that something right, also in one of the other reference books, and I can't remember the name of it either. It was just a little stream then. Hey, by the way, while you're looking at that, if you read chapter, man, not chapter, verse 22, when it's talking about the blood, the plague of the blood, it says, but the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret art.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay. Well, you were... Oh.
I know, I didn't want to jump ahead. Okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to keep from coughing while I'm also talking, sorry. So we come down here to southern Egypt. Abydos was one of their capitals. Luxor was one of their capitals. Actually, it was one of their religious centers. And then Thebes was one of their capitals in different times. And, you know, depending on the season, they could be at different places. But we know they're somewhere on the Nile. And it seems likely Aswan is another major city. They could be anywhere from, as I understand it, from anywhere from Aswan all the way up here into possibly Memphis. Mm-hmm. One of these things I just said that Cairo began, where did it go? Cairo has its root in the ancient settlement of Memphis, now 24 kilometers southwest of the city. So I'd have to, maybe it was ancient Memphis, I don't know, I'll have to look at that again. But the point is that it was not known as Cairo back then. And the Nile was never just a simple little stream. It was always a mighty rushing river. What's happened is the Nile has moved, according to the archaeologists. The pyramids are built over here, and according to them, the Nile River used to run right in front of them.
Okay.
One of the theories about how the pyramids were built is that the stones were brought up the river, up the Nile from, I want to say Luxor, or no, Aswan, from a quarry in Aswan. And they were brought by ferry right to the construction site of the pyramids, or the Great Pyramid, rather. Okay. So I don't know how, I assume that they have some way of telling that, but, I mean, everyone says that. Even creationist people I know talk about how the Nile has moved since the building of the pyramids. So, but where they are is way up here, and it's probably not where Pharaoh is. He's probably down south somewhere. So, Moses and Aaron have gone to there. And then he says, you shall take the staff that was turned into the serpent. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, the Lord, Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me. I think we talked about this already initially in chapter 5, what it meant to serve. But behold, you have not listened until now. And that doesn't mean you've not listened until now. It means up until now, you've not listened. So, thus says the Lord, thus says Jehovah, by this you shall know that I am Jehovah. Behold, I'll strike the water that is in the Nile. The staff is in my hand and will be turned to blood. The fish and all the Nile will die. The Nile will become foul. The Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile. I've always, since I've learned what the Lord means, it's the name of Jehovah, it's still interesting to me how God says, by this you will know that I am Jehovah. But remember what Jehovah means. All right, test time. What does Jehovah mean? What does Yahweh mean?
Spirit.
What?
Yahweh is what God.
But what does it mean? Remember, the names mean something.
Oh, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I wrote it down. Let me try.
I can't remember.
I wrote it down.
I did too, but I don't know what.
There was a whole page down. Let me see.
I'll give you a hint. What is God?
Spirit.
Yes, but also, what else is he by being spirit?
What is his
nature?
Wind.
No, that's still earthly. That's still physical. What is his nature as the creator?
Is it breath?
No, that's still physics. That's still spirit.
I like give up then.
It has to do with time. Or the lack thereof with God.
Well, he's omnipotent.
Yes, that's all powerful, but he's also something else. Oh, hold on, be right back. You guys look to that.
Omnipresent.
Is it almighty?
Did you hear her, Daniel?
He said, hold on for a second.
How'd you find it?
Someone said almighty.
That still has to do with omnipotent.
Is it omnipresent?
Nope. Well, no.
Well, then I am.
If he created time, then he does what? He exists where?
Everywhere.
Does he exist in time or outside of time?
I don't remember.
Oh, Jerry has it. The existing one.
The existing one?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or self-existent, me, or eternal.
Well, omnipresent, that's close.
That really means more everywhere. But that's why I kind of went, yeah, sort of, but no. He's, by this you shall know that I am the eternal one, that I am the self-existent one, as opposed to who or what?
Opposed to the devil.
Opposed to the devil, and as opposed to who else from Pharaoh's perspective?
Pharaoh,
and who else? Does Pharaoh worship Yahweh?
Idols?
Idols.
Right.
By this you shall know that I am the existent one, that I am the eternal one, that I am the self-existing one, as opposed to you, as opposed to all men, and as opposed to your idols.
Right.
So verse 19, say to Aaron, take your staff, stretch out your hand over the water. And here, this is, keep this in mind. This, take your staff and stretch it out over the water. This is going to come up again. Stretch it out over the water, over their rivers, over their streams, over their pools, over their reservoirs of water, that they may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both of vessels of wood and vessels of stone. So it's not, it wasn't just the Nile became blood. It was all the water that probably came from the Nile that was in their vessels, their drinking vessels, their storage pots, all of that. So Moses and Aaron, that they didn't touch it. At least they're not told to touch it. Aaron and Moses did as the Lord commanded. Lifted their staff, and here it says they struck the water that was in the Nile. But remember, God told them to stretch out the staff over the Nile. Not strike it, stretch their staff out. Now, later on, we're going to see when Moses, actually it's in Numbers, when Moses stretches out his hand, and he's not supposed to strike the rock, but he strikes it anyway. Remember that?
Yep.
So this is almost a foreshadowing of that. He didn't say strike the Nile. He said stretch out your staff over it. But he did stretch it out, but then he struck it. And apparently God kind of, I'll let that go. He did it in the sight, and this is important. He did it in the sight of Pharaoh. And in the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish from the Nile died. So all the fish in the Nile died. The fish were a big part of their diet. Died. The Nile became foul.
It was smelly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, duh, the Nile turned to blood. Of course it's going to turn foul. And the blood was throughout all the land of Egypt. So you can look here at this little picture here. We have one little offshoot. Probably goes into a lake. I would think that would have been turned to blood too. All the water that presumably is up here in Goshen even maybe. We're not told God spared the land of Goshen, but it's possible, but we're not told that. But then, Bill, would you care to bring up verse 22?
Well, I would, yeah, I just, because I had said that the Egyptian magicians we're able to turn the water into blood too. And mm-hmm. that's what it says. But the Egyptian magicians did the same thing by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became
So we have this again, is however they did it, either by a genuine miracle from the evil one, or magic, they turned the Nile into blood, just like Moses and Aaron did, right? And just like with the serpents, well, my magicians can do exactly what you just did. There's nothing special about that. So his magicians did the same thing. Well, my magicians did the same thing you did. So there's nothing special about that. So once again, we have Pharaoh's heart was hardened.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. And that means as the Lord has said, he would not. He told them before, he's not going to listen to you. But we're going to go through this because he's going to learn. Mm-hmm. By this you will know, by these mighty works that I do, as opposed to what you can do. Pharaoh turned, went to his house, verse 23, with no concern even for this. Oh, it's no big deal. Whatever. I'm out. Right?
Right.
And then verse 24, the Egyptians adapt and overcome. All the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink. They could not drink the water from the Nile. So they're digging wells. Doesn't say they found it. It just says that's what they're doing. Because God did say, let's see, where is that? Verse 18, the fish of the Nile will die, the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty drinking water from the Nile. Then it says they won't be able to, it won't be impossible, they'll find it difficult. So perhaps God is allowing them to find wells to sustain them for those 7 days, as we have verse 25, 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. But, you know, I would presume Moses doesn't know that, Pharaoh sure doesn't know that, Egyptians don't know that. How long is this going to last? Right? Remember the COVID shutdown? 1 day turns into 2. 2 days turns into 4. 4 days turns into 8. 8 turns into 2 weeks. 2 weeks turns into a month. 1 month turns into 2 weeks with no real end in sight. They don't know it's only going to be 7 days. Mm-hmm. And by the way, though it says 7 days passed, I haven't looked ahead enough, and I've only gone by memory. I didn't think to look ahead. I just, every time I come across this, I just, oh yeah. And I just don't remember to look ahead. I am not aware of the Nile ever becoming water again during the plagues. I'm not aware. The Bible tells us that after those 7 days, God allowed the Nile to become water again. I don't recall seeing that anywhere. We may find it.
Because after that,
was that
after that when Aaron stretched out his hands over the water, it was the frogs, right? So it still wasn't.
We're not told, as far as I know, and I didn't think to look ahead to look for that. I don't think we're told when the Nile became water again. We know it did because we have it now, and we're not told that the Nile was blood for 1,000 years. You know, we're not told anything like that. So no,
that would have been something in history for sure.
You would think, right? If it was too long, and this is where historians throw a fit, is they can't find any evidence for the plagues in Egyptian record. Duh. But if the Nile had been blood for a long enough time, that news not only would have spread, it would have persisted.
Yeah.
And there are legends outside the Bible. They're few and far between. But there are legends of the Israelites coming out of Egypt outside the Bible. It doesn't give the kind of credit to God the way the Bible does. But we do have vague references to it in archaeology and other places throughout history. It's just, you know, it's very vague and the timing is weird. So, all right. Well, shoot, I didn't think we'd get done that early, so I didn't look ahead into chapter 8. So I'll give you guys the opportunity to decide. It's 20 till 9. We can either call it for the night and look at the next plague into verse 15, or, excuse me, we can either call it a night and start next week in chapter 8, Or we can go ahead and fuss through chapter 8 through verse 15 with, I don't think anyone's really read ahead.
Well, why don't we give a break?
Wait.
Yeah, give you a break. Your voice is breaking up.
Oh, it was worse earlier. Oh, I was barely getting sound out earlier.
Because I didn't read 8 either, so.
Well, I've read it, but that doesn't make, I mean, that's, it's a simple thing to read. Yeah. So.
Okay. We shall stop then. Russ, are you okay saying prayer?
I suppose I can.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Sure. Lord, oh God, our Father, thank you for giving us this day for study, that we may understand your powers that be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, see?
I think Randy have in-laws in town. That's probably why
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's one reason we canceled Tuesday.
Yeah.
One reason. All right. Well, hopefully he'll get to listen to this, and hopefully we'll see everybody. What's today, Thursday or Sunday?
Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.